to another edition of Water Wellness and the importance that water has on our lives. Today, Andy's going to talk about all these contaminants and what we should know. Hello, Andy. What are examples of contaminants that we should be concerned about?
Well, thanks, Elizabeth, and hello, everybody. Yeah, so there are a lot of different types of contaminants in water. However, I want to make a point, though, that most of our drinking water quality is generally good quality, but there are some, you know, natural occurring contaminants, such as arsenic, radon, things like that. But then there's also others from various activities that we do day in, day out. And some of these, of course, are bacteria, chloride, copper, lead, you've heard about, nitrate, etc. But then there are also other groups of chemicals, such as industrial chemicals, pesticides, even our personal care products, pharmaceuticals, things like that. And a large group of those types of contaminants are called contaminants of emerging concern. And they include such groups as things as endocrine disrupting compounds, organic waste compounds, volatile organics, micro and nanoplastics, and even PFAS that's being heard about a lot these days. And so all of these contaminants, if you think about it, PFAS, CECs, VOCs, all these things, I kind of think like it's kind of creating an alphabet soup of contaminants.
How many contaminants are there?
Well, you know, it really depends on the type of chemical compound, for example. You know, the typical contaminants that we think about in drinking water, well, again, there could be, you know, a few dozen of a particular type, like metals, for example. But if you look at the more recent contaminant of concern, the PFAS compounds, there's supposedly over 14,000 of those.
Wow. Are they harmful to our health?
Well, they can be, and it really depends upon the type of contaminant. We've all heard about lead, for example, in drinking water, and that's coming from not the water, but it's actually coming from the plumbing. So we have some lead service lines, for example, or copper pipe with lead solder. That's where lead comes from, and it's because of the water corrosivity kind of leaching away the lead and copper from the plumbing. But then if you look at some of these other groups of contaminants, there's a lot of different types of health impacts, you know, cancers, impacts our ability for our immune system to function properly, neurological disorders, such as lead, for example, liver and kidney disease, and, you know, many others. And then the other thing about contaminants is sometimes it's a combination of several. And the other thing about that is, you know, pregnant women, infants, and children, and anybody who's immunocompromised are at greater risk.
So what can we do to reduce our exposure and health risks?
Yeah, well, there's a couple things. The first thing to note, though, is that public water is actually regulated by the EPA and the state agencies, and they're actually tested and treated for about 95 of the more common contaminants. Those include the metals, the radionuclides, bacteria, pesticides, and some other industrial chemicals. So that's the good news, okay, that there is some testing and treatment for public water. But if you're on a well water, then you're responsible. The well owner is responsible actually to do all that testing. And so when we think about some of these new emerging contaminants like PFAS or microplastics, for example, you know, that's of concern because that requires additional type of treatment. And for public water, that's adding a lot of expense. And EPA is now looking at reducing their upper limit, or MCL, of 70 parts per trillion to 4 parts per trillion, which is, you know, good for us drinking, you know, city water or public water, but it's going to add a lot of expense and infrastructure requirements in order for those utilities to meet that. But again, if you're on well water, you need to do your own testing. And typically when you test, you're looking at maybe 12 to 15 different types of contaminants, bacteria, metals, things like that. But if you are concerned about other contaminants like PFAS or microplastics, that testing gets a lot more expensive. And so some might say, well, it's too expensive. Maybe I can just add a filter. So, well, yeah, that could be an option. And there are filters, for example, for homes that you can install that will treat for PFAS and microplastics. So you have to really take that into consideration, such as a reverse osmosis filter, which is a combination of several filters in one, but it has this very, very fine membrane that helps filter out those microplastics and PFAS compounds.
So, Andy, how expensive is a reverse osmosis filtration system as opposed to testing the water and that kind of thing?
Yeah, so that's a good question. And you know, it's obviously a concern because you don't know what you have in the water, but you want to ensure that your family is drinking good water quality. So testing, you know, the average well test, for example, if you do a suite of about 12, 15 contaminants, you're probably looking at about $200+ to get that done. Now, filters come in different sizes and, you know, types, but like a reverse osmosis filter is probably one of the better ones that you could buy because it filters out more contaminants. And if you put one under your kitchen sink, they start in the range of about $200 and go up depending upon the size.
Wow, $200's expensive. How often do you need to test that? How frequently?
Yeah, good question. So yeah, $200 can be expensive. But again, if you're testing for the suite of about 12 to 15 contaminants, and that includes things like pH, hardness, chloride, nitrate, bacteria, lead, copper, manganese, all those things, that's a one-time test. So you could only need to test, say, every 5 years to do that.
So what do you have in store for next month's podcast?
Yeah, well, we've got a couple of really interesting topics in our lineup for the next couple of months. We're going to have a guest presenter talk about drinking water quality and public health issues. We're also going to be talking about home septic care, and then some specific things about water contaminants, such as the stains and some of the odors that we get. So that's what we got, you know, coming up, and look forward to having you come back to visit with us.
If you want to hear any of the videos or podcasts that we're working on, don't forget to check out the YouTube channel for that information, Water Quality, University of Maryland Extension.